Welcome to the Routing Table Podcast. My name is Melchior and I'm here with my co-host Rick. Hey Rick.
Hey Melchior.
So today we have actually two guests. Our guests today are Leftiris and Vasilis. They are from CodeBGP, which is a global routing observability tool, specifically monitoring BGP, and we want to hear everything about it. But first, let's start with introductions. Leftiris, you want to kick it off and introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Melchior, and thank you, Rick. Thank you for the opportunity for us to talk about our work here in the Routing Table podcast. My name is Leftiris Manasakis. I am the COO and co-founder of CodeBGP.
My name is Vasilis Kotronis. I mostly have a research background on internet monitoring, security, and software-defined networks. And currently, I'm the CTO and co-founder of CodeBGP, and I'm mostly responsible for the technical implementation and engineering of what it does.
So you already mentioned you have a research background. That is how you got started initially, right?
Yeah, exactly. And maybe I should tell you guys the story, how we started. The story goes back quite a lot, like our CEO and co-founder as well, Fondas Dimitropoulos, studied in the US in Georgia Tech. He went as a visiting PhD student to CADA, to the Center of Applied Internet Data Analysis in San Diego. And he wrote, during this collaboration in CADA, he wrote the papers that led to what we know now as ASRank. It was the foundation of what we know now as ASRank, which is basically the tool we use for detecting AES relationships. So he started working on BGP, and his PhD was based on BGP. And he left, he went to Switzerland. He became a professor in ETH in Switzerland, where Vasilis joined him as a PhD student. And they met there in 2011, if I remember correctly, Vasili.
Correct.
And they wrote some very interesting papers during that time. Fondas left Switzerland, came to Crete, became a professor in the University of Crete in 2014. And in 2016, myself joined Fondas' research group here in the University of Crete and the Foundation of Research and Technology, which is the affiliate institute for research for the university. And also Vasilis joined from Switzerland. So what happened, I mean, in my case, I was a network operator. I was working for the University of Crete and the Greek School Network and as a network operator. But I looked at an advertisement that Fondas has had back then asking for a research engineer. But I had no background in research, no background at all. So I was thinking, why should I apply for this? Makes no sense. In the end, I said, let's do it. So I did it the last day that I was eligible, like December 31, 2015, I applied, last day of 2015. And all of a sudden, I get a reply from Fondas, let's meet. We meet, we clicked. I joined the group, and since 2016 that we both became members of Fondas group, we wrote a lot of papers together in top venues, I must say, that is related to internet measurements and routing security. One of these papers was called Artemis in 2018, which was a research idea and a research approach that had as target BGP hijacks. So we proved back then, basically Vasilis worked on this paper mostly and Fondas, not myself. We proved that it's possible to detect and mitigate a BGP hijack, within 1 minute. You can detect it within seconds and mitigate it within 1 minute. This paper was published in Transactions on Networking. And after that, we also built an open source software based on the Artemis approach that Vasilis was the main developer and the main, I mean, the software architect, I would say. Vasilis is quite modest. He won't say he was the architect, but I'm saying it. Yeah, and Vasilis will tell you more about it. And this open source software started having users, started having a lot of big networks using it. Tier 1 internet service providers, large IXPs like AMSIX in Amsterdam that you recite, guys. And this led eventually to CodeBGP. This open source software and this paper made us think that here there is a commercial interest for what we do. And yeah, we said, let's give it a try last year. We started last year the company.
Right. Yeah, so the whole paper is long.
Sorry for the long...
No worries. No, perfect. No, the whole paper, for those who are interested, is actually on your website, codebgp.com, and it's on the IEEE website as well. And if I remember correctly, as you know, I once presented at GRNOC at the meeting in Athens. I think you presented Artemis there as well. So there might be a recording somewhere about Artemis as well, probably.
Actually, there are a lot of the recordings. The Artemis is presented in RIPE, in many venues, in GRNOG as well, right, by Vasilis mostly.
Right, excellent, good. Yeah, and as I said, the whole paper and many other papers are actually on the CodeBGP website. So from Artemis, there was a open source tool. How did you progress from there?
Perhaps maybe we discuss a bit about Artemis. Vasilis tell you a few things about Artemis more than what I said, and then we'll tell you the how we progressed.
So we started in 2018. After publishing the paper, we also released the first version of the open source tool called Artemis. We employed a collection of microservices to implement the tool. The idea was that during that time, we had the advent of real-time streaming sources for the control plane. For example, the RISC-Live service that turned into WebSockets and allowed the real-time streaming collection of BGP updates. So that was one of the primary sources we used. And later, RouteFuse also migrated to real-time BMP feeds that are useful for detection. So the question we try to answer with Artemis is, can we do it in a few seconds? Can we detect hijacks, do the comparisons, get the data, and so on in a few seconds? And then if we do it reliably, having a ground truth from the operator on-premise, can we proceed to mitigation countermeasures? And the answer we showed in the paper and in practice via the software deployment is that this can actually be done. So the idea behind Artemis was catch hijacks as soon as they were born and try to counter these hijacks either with methods like deaggregation or using outsourcing mechanism in the same vein as, for example, what the DDoS mitigation providers do when they attract traffic and forward this traffic to the client cleanly.
So you're saying that Artemis is a tool that you deploy on-premise. So how do I detect, maybe that's a little bit of the magic, of course, that you guys have, but how would I detect a hijack then if I just have my own worldview, right? If I don't have like many other feeds to look at?
Sure. So Artemis is deployed on-premise. The operator provides it with a ground truth configuration, declaring these are my prefixes, these are my origins, and these are my neighbors. And these are the couplings between prefix, origin, and neighbor. This is critical so that we have a ground truth to operate upon. Artemis uses real-time sources, for example, the RISC-Live one, the WebSocket, RouteFuse, and also your local routers to get the BGP updates as quickly as possible. So the worldview of Artemis is global, but it concerns only your own prefixes and resources. So what remains local is the ground truth. What is global is the input from multiple sources around the world, multiple collectors and so on. Internally then, Artemis simply gets the data from the ground truth and the updates, compares them in real time, and produces alerts, but are actionable.
And in terms of mitigation, there are also in the paper, we have identified two main ways of doing mitigation. The main one is by doing prefix deaggregation, basically stealing back the traffic, doing a counterattack. And in case of prefixes that are /24, for example, in IPv4, where you cannot really deaggregate more than that, we have described an approach based on the idea of what DDoS scrubbing providers do, like announcing the /24 from multiple vantage points all over the world and tunneling back the traffic to you.
That's quite smart. And this is all done in an open source project. So how do I make use of those public resources then with the information, the collectors, but also the tunneling and stuff? I can imagine that there's a cost component involved there.
Actually, the tunneling is not implemented in open source because, as right. you said, it requires a lot of coordination. But we have implemented a trigger that you can use in order to have your own scripts that do the aggregation on your own routers in right. case of a hijack.
Yeah, so you inject basically the route back into the router, or you adjust the configuration. What is it? Do you advertise the more specific, or?
Yeah, exactly. Advertising the more specific, exactly.
Correct. Just to note here, this is an optional trigger, so the operator can choose to use Artemis totally in a passive fashion, or actively allow it to reconfigure, for example, via script the routers. So that remains for the operator to decide.
We have seen from experience that operators are wary of having automation tools touching the routers, which makes sense if you ask me. But yeah, the option exists in any case.
Right. And as Rick said, that is all in the open source version, so people can download Artemis, install it, run it. What is it? Is it a container, or do you run it as, is it some daemon you run, or?
Essentially, it's a collection of Docker containers. You can run it in two ways, either on a classic server using the Docker Compose utility, or as a Kubernetes a cluster deployment. So both these options are available. And I think it's quite easy to simply download it and let it play. The configuration the only component that requires manual intervention by the operator is actually building the ground truth, the configuration file, that will serve as the comparison basis for anything that Artemis will do for detection.
So if I run it in a passive fashion, I don't want it to interfere with my routers or in that sense not start injecting routes itself. Are there ways I can, let's say, do notifications? Can I send notifications to my NOC or to my own email address, or how does that work?
Correct. We support some output integrations, for example, email, Slack, and so on. And depending on the use case, we can choose to add more. For example, for some users, they simply have a remote syslog endpoint that records and then forwards everything to their local pipeline, logging pipeline, I mean. Then it depends on what the operator has deployed locally. The basics we support out of the box are email, Slack, and syslog.
Right, makes sense. And then, of course, we discussed the open source project a little briefly, and I think it's great that you guys keep maintaining that and that it came out of a research project. But of course, you guys pivoted to a startup or to a commercial deployment. So what's different? What are the big differences between like CodeBGP, the commercial project, and the open source project?
So with the CodeBGP and the CodeBGP platform, we try, it has a lot of differences. That's why we started from scratch and started building the CodeBGP platform from scratch. The main thing is that we try to expand the scope beyond just hijacks and deal with all the types of BGP anomalies that exist out there, like, for example, route leaks, misconfigurations, and also when it comes to generally BGP observability, visibility, and anomaly detection. So Artemis is focused only on one aspect of all these things, which is BGP hijacking. That some people can argue that hijacks do not take place every day, which is true. Of course, it's a very common phenomenon nowadays, and a lot of things take place without us even noticing. For example, just to give an example, when we first set up Artemis in the Foundation of Research, just to protect the network of the institution we were working on, we found a guy in South Africa announcing one of the prefixes of Foundation of Research with a no export community to his upstream. And the only way, the only possible way to detect that was to use Artemis. And the funny thing was that he was not even aware that he was doing that. It was an automation tool that was doing it without even him noticing. So places like that, situations like that happen all the time. But yeah, with CodeBGP platform, we try to expand the scope and also to make a tool that is more focuses more on automation, on visibility, on observability, and on ease of use. So we don't want you to download stuff, run scripts, do stuff on your own. We provide a platform on the cloud where you can point and click, configure your autonomous system and prefixes, basically. Actually, if you do add your autonomous system, you would automatically detect your prefixes. And yeah, you start using it right away, very easy to use, and with the expanded scope that we will discuss more what we do exactly.
Right. I love that you bring up route optimizers again, because it's not the first time that that's been discussed here and what the impact is. Even with no export communities, it's still...
How can we get rid of those?
Yeah, taking down networks. So that's very interesting. So you said that CodeBGP and Artemis are related to each other, but they're not. They're started from scratch. So there's no overlap in the code base, basically.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's exactly. Differently maintained projects.
Exactly, yeah. We wanted to also deal with a lot of challenges we had with Artemis. One major challenge is the data, the huge amounts of data you get from large networks that you require like a lot of good software engineering and like modern languages like Go that we use, for example. We use Go instead of Python that is used in Artemis. But for this stuff, Vasilis, who's our CTO, will tell you more about our platform, what it does exactly, and how it's developed.
I think that's a good next step indeed, because I believe it's also offered in a SaaS model, right? It's not on-premise anymore.
Yeah, it's SaaS. And the problem we're trying to solve here is that basically if you want to troubleshoot internet routing currently with the current solutions that exist, it's quite slow. It's slow, it's cumbersome, it's ad hoc in many cases. You have to, let's say that you announce a prefix, for example, from a vantage point. In order for you to be able to see if it propagates properly, if it works as it should, you need to go to multiple vantage points, multiple looking glasses to check. And this is a problem that CodeBGP platform helps you deal with. Gives you more visibility from multiple vantage points, all aggregated from one platform.
So actually, to augment to that, the reason we migrated to a SaaS solution is two reasons, actually. First of all, on-premise support proved to be a huge hurdle. So it was very hard to do, especially for an open source project that anyone can download and so on. The other thing is that besides hijacks, there were more basic issues we discovered in networks. For example, there was currently no way to answer simple questions like, what is my current state? What do I announce at this point in time to this neighbor in terms of prefix, for example, NB4 and NB6? So what we are trying to solve with the software service approach we employ is first collect data from multiple sources, process them, store them internally, and then expose it to the user in real time. This allows the user to answer questions. For example, I made a change in my network a few seconds ago. What are the results? How is it shown from this RAT collector in the world? And we are presenting a single pane for the user, a single point where he can see all this data aggregated.
Exactly, yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, as you said, I mean, I know it myself as well when I was still configuring networks, that if you make a change and sometimes it doesn't work, or you're not sure if the change was successful, you need to go to all the upstreams websites, look up their looking glasses or from the Internet Exchange points. It's obviously way easier if you can easily check that in one portal.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to solve. That's the problem we're trying to deal with. And we try to provide this to the user, to the operator. And there are many use cases that the tool can be useful. For example, one typical use case that I see with network operators is, let's say that you are a transit and you have a downstream and an upstream. So your downstream announces to you a prefix. The BGP session is up. But for this prefix to propagate properly to the upstream and to the rest of the internet, a lot of things can go wrong. Like, for example, the route object might not be present. RPKI might not be created. A lot of stuff might go wrong. And we provide you one pane, as Vasily said, where from you can point click and see what's going on in real time.
Right, so you collect that data not only from your customers or those who are using your tool, but also from external sources.
Yeah, exactly. We currently have RIS Live as one of the source from BGP updates, the streaming version of RIS. That's why it's called RIS Live. It's a streaming WebSocket that gathers information from about 1,450 BGP sessions. Out of them, like almost 800 provide the full BGP view all over the world. But also from your own BGP routers, we give you the opportunity to connect your own routers. And we also have our own monitoring solution called Code BGP Monitor. That provides information as well from a lot of routers all over the world as well.
And if I already have implemented tooling myself, network monitoring tooling, can I then feed that into my own tooling again as well?
Correct. So we also offer an API over GraphQL, which can be used either to query the data or stream it via GraphQL subscriptions in real time, and also mutate it. So you can also connect your own internal tools to input data into the system. Right. So that's feasible.
So let's say I want to get started. I'm an ISP. I have a few transit providers, and I'm connected to a few internet exchanges. I think your tool sounds interesting. How do I get started? How does it work? What do I need to set up? You already mentioned it's microservices architecture. Mm-hmm. But then what? Can I just download it, install it myself? It's obviously cloud-based, but can I just register, connect my routers? What's the process?
We give you access to your own instance that runs on the cloud. We create the number of users that you want to use the tool. We have the option to provide either users with editor access, as we say, meaning that they can add configuration themselves, or just view what they see from the tool, viewers. And we can configure it for you, or you can do it yourself because it's very easy. Basically, point click and add your autonomous systems and your prefixes to the tool. And as soon as you add your autonomous systems and prefixes, the tool starts monitoring these routing resources for you in real time.
Maybe a good topic here, we talked about deaggregation a little bit as a way to overcome the issue. But of course, if we if we deploy RPKI, which is a point that you guys have make a big deal about on the website and stuff. Of course, if I put those too strict, I can do deaggregation. Of course, let's say I advertise /20s and you guys are starting advertising /24s. Of course, I need to update my ROAS then, or make them like more acceptable or something. What's your like best practice for customers wanting to deploy this? How should you prepare your advertisements?
Yes. So are you referring to the active configuration of the routers via RPKI? Could you elaborate a bit on the use case? I mean, just to understand better the context.
Yeah, use case being, for example, I advertise /20 IPv4 prefixes. Mm-hmm. And I create an RPKI ROA for that prefix being maximally advertised as a /20. You can, of course, add that as a range that you want to allow a minimum and a maximum range. Mm-hmm. So, of course, if I start do deaggregation, of course, that initial ROA is not valid anymore. Or I should put in a wider acceptance in the RIPE database or something. Right. So, of course, that downplays the security a little bit because I, of course, start allowing other people to hijack my prefix as well and still have a valid ROA then. So, what's your take on that?
So the strict scientific approach says that you should create ROAs that are your exact announcements, and not be loose with the max length.
Yeah, that's the point.
But as you know, if you don't allow a bit of flexibility in the max length, if you create a ROA during the time that you need it, in order for a ROA to be propagated and be accepted by everybody, it might take half an hour. Yeah. So maybe then it's too late for you. So there's always a trade-off between these two things. And each case is different. It depends, I would say. It depends on the use case. But every solution has the pros and cons, obviously.
So in this scenario, actually, if you proceed with a very restrictive ROA, you will see in the tool that the route what you're advertising is invalid. So that's one the one scenario. The other scenario, when you if you have a permissive ROA, it will be valid, but you will also start seeing this deaggregated announcement. So in all cases, we are trying to provide you with a view of what's happening, either from the point of RPKI that something is valid or not, or from the actual state that we see from your network. So in any case, you will see that something is going on, either in RPKI or in BGP.
Right. Question on maybe a bit on that same topic. If I have a /20 and somebody's hijacking or starts advertising more specifics and so hijacking traffic, what do you see happening? Is it normally is it always 24s? Or would somebody also be hijacking 23, 22, 21s?
It can be anything. Usually they do 24s in order to block you from basically doing further deaggregation and stealing back the traffic. So they go directly to /24, especially if they know what they're doing. But it can be anything. If it's even if it's a /21, all the traffic will go towards the hijacker, right, since it's more specific.
Right. So would you recommend using, when creating ROAS, using max length, or create ROAS for the 20 and a separate ROAS for the 24s, but not for the 23, 22, 21?
As I said, the recommendation is tricky and depends on the network. Because, for example, I have in mind one network that uses automation in order to do policy. To express policy via BGP with communities. This network, for them, it's impossible to have strict ROAS because they do traffic engineering all the time via this automation they have created. Although it's not safe, really, to use a loose max length, it's their only way they can do it currently. So I believe there needs to be a broader discussion in the community about this. And we need to find a better way to do it.
I agree. And in any case, we need some kind of visibility into what is going on, either if we have a loose ROA or a strict one. So you need to know that someone is advertising your prefix from the other side of the world with this mask length.
Are you thinking about like integrating with Creel, for example, for those who run their own CA so they can create more specific ROAS or ROAS for more specific routes when needed?
Sounds interesting. Yeah, sounds interesting. We haven't thought about it, to be honest. It's not in the roadmap currently.
It's something that just popping up, to be honest. I haven't really thought about it any further as well, but it could be interesting. So you don't have to, let's say, pre-stage all the ROAS already or have all the ROAS in place already. You could create them maybe on the fly if needed, but that's maybe a bit more for advanced users probably as well.
I need to pick your brain more often, Melchior, so that we get stuff like that in our roadmap.
We can always chat. So speaking about roadmap, what do you have on the roadmap, except from some crazy ideas we're coming up with now?
So currently we have prepared the first edition that is essentially dealing with all the real-time state collection. And now on top of it, we want to build further alerting. One starting point is to gather metrics on various BGP resources, for example, how many prefixes are currently active and are announced from your network, or how many data sources see a certain prefix at a point in time. And then do some anomaly detection on top of it. For example, if we have a constant number of, let's say, 100 prefixes across time, and suddenly we see 1,000, that is probably a very useful signal for a potential route leak. That will appear as a hijack for other networks, for example, which is interesting. Or if we see that the number actually drops down to almost zero, that's probably an unintended global withdrawal scenario, like what happened with Facebook some months ago from all the data centers in the world. So that's a primary milestone in the roadmap. And also we plan to do some pairwise comparisons of the various sources we now have. For example, if someone considers RPKI other stations as ground truth, we can build on top of it and provide alerts whenever something doesn't match what we see in RPKI. Now, besides alerting, we have two more fronts on which we like to invest in the roadmap. It's to be able to go back in time, because currently we have invested in creating the real-time state, and as progress forward, it moves on and on, depending on what the network does. We also want the ability to allow the user to visit state, for example, a month ago or some days ago, be able to replay it and see if something funky took place during the time interval. And finally, expand the tool with more sources and integrations. For example, there's route views, IRR data, netbox, and other application data that is useful. Currently, we are focusing, what you see on the tool is network level based, for example, so you need to be a network operator to follow the terminology. We want to enrich this information with application data so that it's more straightforward to understand when something is affected, like a prefix or a certain IP even, what's running behind this IP and how this affects your application as a whole. Which I think interesting for application developers, enterprise networks, and so on.
So to circle back to what we were talking about Artemis, we were saying that we were asking the operator to configure the data related to his network in Artemis, which, as you guys know, in a lot of networks, it's practically impossible because the prefixes or the configurations are huge. So one thing we started doing with CodeBGP platform is to create this what we call configuration automatically, like by adding your prefixes and your AESs. Basically, your AESs, we give you access to your prefixes directly. We start creating this configuration file, quote-unquote, automatically. So we have this basis. And as part of future work, like in our roadmap, additionally to what Vasily said, since we have all these sources of BGP that we get data from, we plan to do pairwise comparisons of the various data sources. For example, RPKI is a data source. RIPRIS, RIS Live is another data source. CodeBGP monitoring is another data source. Your own routers is another data source. Mm-hmm. We compare all these data sources, and when we find discrepancies, we raise an alert. Depending on if one of the sources can be considered a trusted one, for example, RPKI can be considered a trusted source. Or if you have policies on how to configure your routers, maybe you can consider your own BGP routers a trusted source as well. When you have one trusted source in the comparison, if you see a discrepancy, you raise an alarm and you can be confident that this is not a false positive. So the idea is basically simple, but it's also very powerful, I think.
Yeah, definitely. This is really good. And if you would say that, is there like a big ultimate vision for the company and the tool to that you want to achieve?
Basically, we want to like be the BGP observability company, build a tool that people can use in order to work with everything related to BGP. That's why our name is also called BGP. We can't say it any louder than that, I guess. So yeah, that's our goal. To be the observability company for BGP and to do anomaly detection in all levels.
And if people are interested to learn more, is there like a free trial that they can do, or like how they should get in touch with you guys? How should they get in touch?
Thank you for the question, Rick. So like a few days ago, we launched in social media asking people to book a demo where myself, I will present a demo to them. Mm-hmm. And I say myself smiling, smirking now, people will not see me. It's a bit surreal. But it happened a few days ago. So people can book a demo to see the tool in action. With me, and also can use through the website, can click on try it now, and they are able to get access to the tool in a demo version, a public demo version, where we have our own network set up, mm-hmm. where they can see the tool in action as well for free.
Awesome.
Excellent. And to add to that, I've seen the demo, or at least a part of it, as a preparation for the for this podcast recording as well. And I have to say, Leftris is a rock star, man, doing presentations and demos. So if it's not for the tool itself, then just do the demo for him.
Thank you, Melchior. I'm blushing now, and people cannot see me as well.
No, it's really interesting, and I think it can definitely solve quite some challenges. As we said, I've experienced it myself as well when configuring networks, that you're not sure if your filters are working or if the stuff you think that should be advertised is actually being advertised and helping. I would have hoped back then to have had a tool that would warn me when I was advertising a full table to an internet exchange, right? That would have been would have helped a lot. So thanks for that work, and thanks for helping other network operators improving their network operations and in the end making the internet a bit more stable and safer.
Thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to talk. One thing that we forgot to mention, which is important, and I think it will be interesting for people to listen to, is the speed that our tool has. Mainly, I have done experiments announcing prefixes from all over the world, from different vantage points, from different upstreams. And we see that a median time between the announcement and the tool detecting the prefix that I announce, it's within 4 to 5 seconds at best. Wow. Usually it's 3 seconds. Wow. So it's quite fast. I believe it's the fastest that exists out there. And we build on that in order to be able to give not only visibility from multiple vantage points, from thousands of vantage points all over the world, but also to do it very fast because, you know, during an anomaly, every second counts.
So the motivation behind it, to augment what Lefteris said, is that we're trying to catch a problem even before the entire control plane globally converges to the new state. Because maybe the new state is erroneous, as it may happen a lot of times. Either call it hijacks, route leaks, misconfigurations. And we're trying to be as fast as possible in order to allow the operator to react if something bad happens.
Yeah, very cool. This is an excellent thing. So I can only invite people to check out the papers and the open source project at first, and of course the CodeBGP website if they want to learn more. So thank you guys for joining us today. This was awesome to learn more about your product and your research going on. We'll keep following you guys in the future and hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys.